Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. If you thought the title of this video was clickbait, unfortunately, you are wrong. I wish you were correct, but let's dive into the article from the Rasmussen Report, and I'll show you what I am referring to. And then I want to give some facts and from some data that I found this morning that just shows how completely insane the world has become. So we've got the Rasmussen Report, and I think they have been doing right here. If it's in the news, it's in our polls, public opinion polls since 2003. So that's what Rasmussen does. I'm not sure if they're biased in one way or another. So the title is Cervasa Sickness. Democrat voters support harsh measures against the unmedicated. And when they say harsh, this is not hyperbole. In fact, this is understating it. So not even close to hyperbole. It's the opposite. Let's go through here. While many voters are skeptical towards federal government response to the Cervasa sickness, majority of Democrats embrace restrictive policies, including punitive measures against those who have not received the medicine. A new Heartland Institute Rasmussen Report national telephone and online survey finds 48% of voters favor Biden plan to impose mandates that this got struck down. So this was probably a few days ago. But it's really talking about how divided voters are and how partisan things have become. They say that even split among voters is a result of deep partisan divisions. While 78% of Democrat voters support the Biden administration's Cervasa sickness mandate plan, only 22% of Republicans. Okay, this is not really what's shocking. I think that's pretty straightforward. But here they go on from this gentleman, Chris Talgo, senior editor and research fellow at the Heartland Institute. I guess they're the person that, or the entity that did the study, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they are. He said, first and foremost, likely voters are beginning to sour on Voldemort, who seems to have lost credibility after countless flip-flops. So I'm assuming this is based on their phone interviews. Makes sense. Talgo continued, moreover, almost half of likely voters oppose Biden's mandates, which seems less about stopping Cervasa sickness and more about increasing power of federal government. I like this guy. When asked about several other potential strategies, such as fining those who refuse medicine, the consensus among likely voters is that federal government should do less, not more. Like I'm saying, guys, we are a silent majority. But now they go on to highlight the vocal, we're a silent majority. They highlight the vocal minority, and boy, they are vocal, and boy, they are absolutely out of their minds. That's for sure. I mean, talk about this mass formation psychosis that we've been hearing about from Matisse Desmet, Chris Martinson, Brett Weinstein, etc. I mean, this is just staggering. These statistics down here. So check this out. So 58% of voters oppose proposal and fines. Let's see, proposal for federal or state governments to fine those who choose to not get the medicine. While 55% of Democratic voters would support such a proposal. So basically fining those people who choose not to get the medicine. And I want to point out, this is 55%. So what that means is 45% do not favor. And I think that's actually, I mean, a good thing. We're talking about how divisive politics has become. It's like a religion with all this cognitive dissonance. But even within the Democrats, I mean, there's a large portion here that are sane, that understand history and understand this is not the way to go. This is a very slippery slope. So I don't want to make it seem as though it's you know, just all those Democrats are crazy. Not at all. And, you know, I want to be very clear. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I just value individual sovereignty. I value individualism and I push back against authoritarianism. Whether or not that authoritarianism is coming from the right or left, I don't care. I think they're equally bad, just depending on which issue you're looking at. So moving on, 59% of Democratic voters would favor a government policy requiring that citizens remain confined to their homes if they refuse to get the medicine. So this just goes to show how it's so ironic that these people are talking about quote unquote misinformation and disinformation when they themselves are the ones that have no clue what the data is. And they themselves are the ones that are pushing basically disinformation, to use their own term. Let me show you what I'm referring to specifically, because we'll go through here some more talking points that will shock you. But let's look at these talking points through the lens of recent data that has come out from not exactly the alt-right, but from the government in Ontario, or this, I believe it's the government's website. It's from surveysofsickness.ontario.ca. So yeah, it seems to be a government website here. But this is, and I want to, first of all, before we even get to the chart, let's look at the way they did this. Because I know I get a lot of pushback on this, because people say, oh, there's so many more people that have had the medicine that the cases per 100,000 are obviously going to be higher. But they're not understanding how the test or the data was collected. So the rate of cases per 100,000 is calculated by dividing the number of cases for the status. Notice, for the status, by the total number of people that are within the same status. So you're comparing apples to apples here. They're not taking the medicated and then just using the entire population. They're using the medicated, medicated, unmedicated, unmedicated. So they're able to keep the integrity of the data, or else the numbers really would mean nothing. So understanding that they are comparing apples to apples here, that's very important. Let's look at the chart. And this obviously is for the most recent scariant. You guys know what I'm referring to. So this green line indicates the number of cases per 100,000. This is a 7-day average. So you'll notice here, this green line, pretty obvious, is higher than the purple line, higher than the pink line. You say, wait a minute, the green line is this. So what this is saying is that the people who fall into this category of being in this green line are catching this recent scariant of the cervasus sickness at a faster and greater rate than those who are not a part of this green line. Got it? Now, I want to be very fair. In this same article, or in the same blog post, the same website, they show that the severity, let's say, I'm trying to pick my words carefully here. You guys can hopefully appreciate that. The severity of the case is diminished with the medicine. Now, as far as the hospitalizations, to a certain degree, it's statistically significant for sure, but it's not just overwhelming. As far as ICU, definitely. It shows, just the data that they have here, it shows that the people who have the medicine have a far lower probability of ICU, a decent lower probability of hospitalization, far lower of ICU. But it also shows that they have a much higher rate of cases. So what's my point? Let's go back and look at this article. And so you always hear that the reason, and I wish they would have asked these Democratic voters who are favoring these draconian types of policies, you know, why is it, what benefit do you think we will have? And my guess, and oh, by the way, if you look at this is very important too, I forgot to bring that up. If you look at the actual report at this website, and strongly encourage all of you to do so, you'll see that although the data would suggest the medicated have a benefit when it comes to ICU, you'll notice that the absolute number is incredibly low, incredibly low. relative to the cases. And that's important because you can't just say, oh, is it better, is it worse? Well, you know, you've got to look at a specific cost benefit analysis. And to do that, you have to look at the absolute numbers. So even if this category is better, okay, is it going from two cases down? Is it going from, I'm taking it to an extreme just so it's easy to understand here. Let's just say there were two hospitalizations, and by having the medicine, it would reduce it down to one. Okay, well, if you didn't look at the absolute numbers, if you just looked at the percentages, you'd say, oh my gosh, that's an incredible benefit to society. Look at these percentage, how much better it is. But yeah, when you look at the absolute, you say, okay, well, is just that one hospitalization worth giving the power, this authority to the government and having them basically create a two-tiered society and completely destroy the economy? I would say no. And I think a lot of the people that favor these policies would also say no if they actually saw the data presented in those terms. So you can't just look at the percentages. You have to look at the absolute numbers. When you look at the absolute numbers, although they definitely do favor the medicated, let's say, in terms of hospitalizations and ICU, they definitely would not favor a mandate when you do a cost-benefit analysis. But going, I just wanted to make that very clear.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
So now let's go back to these data points here that are just staggering. So 48% of Democratic voters think federal government should be able to fine or imprison. Did you guys get that? They should be able to fine or imprison individuals who publicly question the efficacy of the medicines on social media, television, radio, or online, or in online or digital publications. So are they going to, would they suggest that we imprison the government in Ontario, Canada? Because look at this chart. If we are just going to look at cases, which many of these people do, and many of the people voting, I'm sure, do, and that they look at the medicines as a way to reduce the amount of cases. In their mind, that's the way things work. So I think it's safe to say that in their view, anyone that says that the medicines do not really do anything to reduce transmission should be either fined or imprisoned. Okay, well, again, taking this idea of theirs to its logical conclusion, then you would have to imprison and or fine the government of Ontario. Because what they're doing with the data here is they're showing that not only does this green line, the group that's in this green line, not only are they less likely to transmit, they could be far more likely. It's the complete opposite when you actually look at the data. And see, this is an example of not just the slippery slope, but the people who are in favor of putting us on the slippery slope are just completely, they're just not even looking into the data, or they're delusional. They're just ignoring just basic facts. It's just, it's absolutely staggering. Moving on, 45% of Democrats favor governments requiring citizens to temporarily live in designated facilities or locations if they refuse the medicine. So again, let's think this through. So even if you somehow wanted to argue that this 48% was not really worried about cases, but they were really worried about overwhelming the hospital system. But again, there you got to look at the absolute numbers, and that kind of defeats that argument. But let's just say that this is their position. How could you have the position that you should require citizens to temporarily live in a facility if they refuse the medicine, when the people who have the medicine are more likely to have the cervasis sickness? I don't even know how you, it's so ridiculous that it's difficult to even debate. I mean, maybe that's the point. And I remember listening to the interview with Chris Martinson and Matisse Desmond, where he said, when you get into this mass formation psychosis, the more ridiculous the policies are, the more some of the people actually favor those policies. And when you're looking at the fact, according to the Ontario government, that with this recent scariant, that people who have the medicine are more likely to contract, therefore most likely transmit, then if you are being intellectually consistent here, then those are the people that you would want to temporarily live in the designated facility. Although obviously I don't favor anyone doing that, but you see, this is just completely upside down. It's like a hall of mirrors, some bizarre dystopian type of Alfred Hitchcock movie or Twilight Zone, something like that. And here we go. 2/3, 66 of likely voters would be against governments using digital devices to track. But then 47% of Democrats favor a government tracking program for those who won't get the medicine. And again, when you look at it through the lens of this data with Ontario, this just absolutely makes zero sense. And then when you look at history, and when you look at what is completely obvious, that this is really about governments taking power and control away from the citizen, then it obviously doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But just excluding the dangers of government having this type of control, excluding the dangers of the slippery slope, and just looking at the data as it is today, this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. In fact, if they're really trying to reduce transmission, according to the data from Ontario, they would do the complete opposite. They would make the people who have the medicine have the digital tracking devices. So there you go. I mean, I don't even know what the takeaways are with that. It's so insane. But that's what's going on in the news around freedom and liberty. So I wanted to present it to you guys as soon as I came across my desk. We are living in a crazy, crazy world, guys. And that is scary, to say the least. But also, if you watch my last video, which you definitely should, there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful that more and more people are seeing through this nonsense and standing up and pushing back against the authoritarians. So enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.